Get your popcorn ready because it's time for a movie watching party on Asteroid G. You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G. I'm Mike Finkelstein. With me, as always, here at the video store is...
Josh, the Pharaoh Wizard Schaefer.
Queen Bee.
And no other man will do Bex.
And as we broadcast to you from Leonardo, we are going to be talking about the Clerks animated series. Now, unless you're a Kevin Smith, one of the Kevin Smith faithfuls, you probably don't even realize there was a Clerks animated series. I mean, you might have a better idea of that than to know that there was a pilot episode for a live-action Clerks series, which bombed. And I don't even think it's been released on DVD, which is amazing, because Kevin Smith is a media whore and releases everything if he can make money off of it. But the Clerks animated series ran for, like, all of... I think it actually only broadcast 4 of the 6 episodes that were made for it on ABC and, like... God, what was that? 2003? Maybe even earlier than that? It was ridiculously long time ago. And I am one of the fans of it. I know, Josh, you love that thing too, but...
I do.
We're going to go through, we're going to talk about it. I mean, there's only 6 episodes, so, I mean, we could practically talk about every episode that they made in the length of a podcast. But I do want to touch upon the fact that while I'm still a fan of it, I have to admit that it hasn't aged as well as I would have liked.
What? I still can watch it like it's been...
Oh, wow.
It was 20 years ago.
Okay, so let's...
I literally just watched it, and I was bored out of my mind.
I think, to be fair, not to sound like an ageist, but I think it was like younger millennials and late Gen Xers is what the target audience was.
Well,
like,
that's
I don't know.
Pretty much Kevin Smith's like the humor entire humor. Audience right there for everything he does.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Like, because... he hit upon, like, with his early movies, Clerks and a little bit of Mallrats, but mostly Clerks, he really hit upon that, like, late Gen X, just basically Gen Y angst of being stuck working a job you hate for no money that doesn't treat you well, and basically you have nothing better that you can do except kind of bum around and play street hockey or whatever random loser sport
right.
you play. And, like, bounce around in a mall when you don't have anything else going on. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I will say that watching it again, I think it's been, like, almost a decade or so since I've seen it last. There were some parts where I was like, oof, this is kind of racist. Or,
kinda racist.
Oof, this is pretty homophobic.
Very homophobic.
Or,
those
oof.
Were... What else
a lot
did
of
you have?
Oofs.
Yeah, a lot.
I said, "Ooh, they gave Judge Reinhold a job still." So,
yeah, it's. I think the homophobic humor, more than anything, is the part that has aged the worst for me. Like, there are some lines, like, "Is this some kind of gay thing?" And Leonardo's like, "No," and he's. They're like, "Are you sure?
You sure?"
Yes, which is all sold on the delivery of Alec Baldwin,
right?
But. There's plenty of times where Randall busts out some really homophobic humor and you're just, like, cringing. Now, I know Kevin Smith always puts those kinds of words in the idiot characters, which in the Clerks universe is Randall when it's not being filled by, like, Banky or something. But that doesn't make it any easier to watch it all this time removed.
No. Yeah. Well, and it also I felt like kind of was weird because I feel like Randall's character otherwise was pretty accepting.
Oh, yeah.
But in the animated series, he seemed kind of more, what's the word I'm looking for? Sophomoric?
Heightened.
I guess. Yeah, there you go. Heightened's a good word.
Yeah, well, it's a cartoon. And so if you compare the show up against the movie, or movies for that matter, ignoring one random dance sequence in the second Clerks movie, which just does not play.
No.
It definitely feels like the animated series exists in a very cartoony, heightened universe, which it does, and who knows whether or not that was Kevin Smith just relishing in the fact that he was making a cartoon, or if that was ABC wanting him to toe down his own impulses, and so he went in a different direction with it. But while the characters are kind of the same, they do feel very heightened and cartoony.
Right, yeah.
So, even if you don't watch, like, the last episode, which is basically a riff on Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
So, B, what did you like or not like or whatever about the Clerks animated series?
Well, I think in order to like the Clerks animated series, you have to like Clerks and Chasing Amy. If you aren't a fan of either one of those movies, which I am not, you're not going to like it because it's basically the same characters. Yeah, but I gave it a try, and I will tell you, out of all six episodes, I believe episode five was my favorite.
Which one was that?
It's the one where Randall ends up going through kind of like a Temple of Doom.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of scenario. That's also the only one
not written by Kevin Smith.
Well, maybe that tells you something. Maybe I'm just not a fan of Kevin Smith because I don't get his comic book show either. So
I haven't even wanted watching. Like, it, I know Josh and I have touched upon this before because we did a specifically Kevin Smith podcast, and every once in a while we mention him again. So that mostly just so that Josh can shit on Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, as a person.
Maybe I just don't get the writing. Maybe I don't understand the characters. But here's the truth. I'm not a big fan of animated, made for adult content anyway.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I'm not a fan of South Park. I'm not a fan of Family Guy. I'm not a fan of American Dad. I'm not a fan of The Simpsons. I'm not really a fan of any of that. I liked the older cartoons made for kids. I like Thundercats. I liked He-Man. I liked G.I. Joe. I liked those.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of the cartoons made for adults.
Well,
and I'm a real fan of the Book of Mormon, which was written by the same people who wrote South Park. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't like adult cartoons.
I think so South Park in general is an acquired taste. And I think that's, Josh, yeah. Becky, I don't know if you would agree with me or not on this, but to a certain extent, Clerks, even in just six episode form, is a bit of an acquired taste.
I mean, if you don't like Kevin Smith's earlier work, you're not going to like this. Like,
yeah. And this definitely veers, like Clerks, of all the things he's produced, the Clerks animated series feels most in line with Mallrats if you cut out all the nasty language.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mallrats is basically a live-action cartoon, more or less.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, is Mallrats the one that predates Clerks and Chasing Amy? Okay.
Clerks came first, then Mallrats technically is a prequel because it happens one day earlier, but it was made afterwards.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they referenced this, like, one plot line that was also brought up in Clerks for, like, all of 5 minutes, so.
Yeah, I think so.
That's about it. It's like Kevin Smith for whatever reason.
Yeah,
There were a couple of things that I kind of went to, but for the most part, I was not amused.
I think one of my issues with the later episodes is that Leonardo gets very minimized, and I think he was my favorite character from the cartoon in general.
Like, I can see that.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's funny. I liked the first episode, the unaired pilot, quote-unquote, where they're just kind of, like, running around and dealing with him, and Alec Baldwin's delivery is phenomenal. The whole battling against Leonardo, and foiling his weird, dumb plans that are just... he was a great, like, over-the-top cartoonish villain. And then, like, the only other episode that really showcased him well was the Outbreak episode where he buys the Discreto burritos. And, oh, man, just
exquisite.
Exactly. His delivery on exquisite. I could watch that over and over. That is hilarious. But, some of the episodes, like the court case one, is not only racist, but also just a bad episode. Although the Korean animated ending is hilarious.
Yeah, the ending's the only part that's really worth it.
Mm-hmm. The second episode, the Remember When episode, that basically flashes back to the first episode and before, it's fine in places, and I'm amused by the fact that they do a Remember When episode as essentially their second pilot. Like, that's funny in a kind of meta sort of way, but I can also see that completely turning off the audiences that were watching at the time.
Yeah. It was also, Paul Dini had his hand in it, too.
Okay.
So
I mean, I can absolutely see why it wasn't why it didn't work. And I can 100% see why, even now, going back and watching it again, if you didn't watch it at the time and have some love for the Kevin Smith movies, why you might not care for it.
Yeah,
it really seemed to be like one of those things where it's a nice collection of gem moments, mm-hmm. but on the whole, it's kind of like, mm-hmm.
It's rough in parts.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a thing of, I have to think that the real issue with the show is where it was and when it was made. Because Clerks came out before a lot of the quote-unquote mature humor cartoons that are broadcasting now came out. It's not really Family Guy style humor, but because of where it aired, it's also not like Archer level of like, you know, crude, or like South Park level of crude. It doesn't verge one way or the other. I think if it aired on like Comedy Central or waited a few years and came out on FX, it might have actually done better for the kind of stuff that Kevin Smith does. But at the same time, that era of Kevin Smith, I don't think could have created a very funny show anymore.
Right.
From what I hear,
this is kind of at the peak of where Kevin Smith starts to kind of get full of himself.
Well, I mean, if we want to rehash that, like with taking off the rose-colored glasses for a second here, let's go and actually look at Kevin Smith, because the first two movies he did, like Clerks was done on a shoestring budget. It was basically him doing more or less an autobiographical movie just about different characters. And then,
I love Clerks 1, yes, by the way.
I do too. And Mallrats is also, especially in the theatrical cut, not the other one that's much more like trying to be an Animal House kind of movie, but the theatrical cut is almost autobiographical again. It's just losers hanging out at a mall, talking about comic books, and like getting into trouble, which is still Kevin Smith basically at that era of his life. Everything he's done since then is no longer relatable to the people that are, you know, hanging out at video stores and having to work dead-end jobs, because Kevin Smith no longer had to do any of that. So, like, the hero of his next movie, Chasing Amy, is a successful independent comic book artist who can live on his own in an amazing loft, which, I don't know if you've met comic book artists, that never happens.
Right?
And then, like, you go beyond that, and you have, like, a successful doctor who's also, like, the great-grandchild of Jesus. You have, like, an ad exec from, what, Jersey Girl? Two Kevin Smith stand-ins, like, trying to stop a movie, and Jay and Silent Bob. Like, the further you get from Clerks and Mallrats, the more ridiculous the plot lines get. And the only one that he's done since then that has felt at all grounded is the only other one of them that I would actually go back and watch again with any regularity, and that would be Clerks 2.
Yeah, minus the rooftop scene, as you already mentioned.
The rooftop dance sequence that is so out of left field and just stops the movie in its tracks.
I felt bad for Brian O'Houlihan, is that his name? The Dante?
O'Halloran or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he looked uncomfortable through that entire scene.
Rosario Dawson rolls with it, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but she's a Rosario Dawson.
Oh, yeah. No, she can sell the shit out of anything.
Yeah.
So, no, I absolutely get...
That's why they bring you in.
Yeah. I absolutely get, like, how this is a weird product. And I love it because I loved it when it came out.
I love it, too.
It's a weird show that came out at a weird time for Kevin Smith. Like, the Kevin Smith of Clerks and Mallrats... Like, he might have wanted to do a show on ABC, but he didn't have the clout to do it. And the Clerks of post-Jay and Silent Bob 2 doesn't have the clout to pull it off, and no one would ever want to give him an ABC show anyway.
Yeah. Have you watched the new Jay and Silent Bob movie?
I heard it was both a complete retread of the previous one and so utterly stupid there was no point to watching it.
I watched it. It was utterly stupid. There's no point in watching it.
Josh.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I watched the trailer and I was like, woof.
Yeah. Well, after... God, what was the last... After Clerks 2, he did Tusk, which no one liked. And Yoga Hosers.
Did he do Red State?
He did Red State. You're right, he did do Red State. Yeah. I heard that was half of a good movie.
It was, I was about to say, it's like it was half of a good movie.
Yeah. Yoga Hosers that everyone absolutely hated... somewhere in there for Netflix, he did Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy Cartoon Movie, which didn't even have the same animation style of the cartoon, and you're sitting there going, why?
Yeah, like, that wasn't very good either.
Yeah, see? And then he did the Jay and Silent Bob remake. His late era is ass. Because it happens with a lot of artists, and say what you will about him, but I think we can at least, in a certain form, give him the title of artist within his own specific genre.
I mean, Clerks 1 was brilliant.
Yes.
Okay. I thought. Well, if we're going to turn this into a, is there a movie that I will watch and enjoy that has Kevin Smith, I could honestly say I really like Dogma.
Other than that,
I'm not really impressed with anything. And there is a Clerks 3 coming out, by the way.
Okay, so
you guys didn't know.
So that's the thing. He has been saying for 10 years there's a Clerks 3 coming out. He's also been saying for 10 years there's a Mallrats 2 coming out. And neither of those have materialized. And
however, it is on his producer credits for IMDb.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. He runs his own company. He can put whatever he wants on his producer credits.
Ah, okay.
But it's the thing of, I don't know that I want the Kevin Smith of this era to make a Clerks 3 or a Mallrats 2.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because he's...
Like, I don't want to like it.
I mean, I want to watch it. I want to like it. I just don't know that we need it, because the Kevin Smith that would make those is not the Kevin Smith of Clerks 2, who was, you know, at the very least, thinking about what it meant to be a parent and learning, you know, the ropes of that. He's well past that guy. And he's so far removed from the people who, you know, hang out in a video store in a convenience store all day doing jack shit, that I don't even know how the characters are going to be relatable to that whole idea, you know?
Well, and I think that's the big issue with Kevin Smith, is because he was really, you know, someone who, Gen Y, or Zennial, whatever you want to call them, Gen Xers, could really kind of identify with, because, you know, working retail when I was in high school and early college was pretty much like Clerks, you know, incompetent boss.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone who, you know, did that when they were younger in the 90s and early aughts, they're in their mid to late 30s, early 40s now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've kind of evolved past working, schlubby jobs. Like, he needs to do like an Office Space type of thing if he wants to remain relevant with that demographic, because, mm-hmm. like, I haven't been in retail for more than a decade at this point, so... Yeah.
Aside from the occasional one-off convention that's, you know, that we just go and kind of work a booth, yeah.
I mean, if you were just to go look at his life via IMDb, it is so sad.
Oh?
His IMDb literally reads as a narcissist.
I mean,
it is all about him. Everything is about him. It's either him playing himself, or it's him playing Silent Bob.
Yes, that's his whole life.
What was that commercial?
Was it for Jersey Girl, where he had that weird commercial where it was just him holding a picture of his wife, and he was just like, look at me, this is my wife, she's totally hot. If you don't go see this movie, then I can't have sex with my hot wife.
I mean, like, that's a lot of his stuff.
It was just so cringy.
He's deeply in love with his wife, which is good for him.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. That's great.
It doesn't make for entertaining anythings, though. And, you know, that's just him growing up, which is great. But, I mean, you go and watch a bunch of his stuff. His most successful products post-Dogma or whatever were basically him on stage answering questions from his fans, which I don't even know if, even without COVID, if he was doing that beforehand. Like, at a certain point, were those still successful? Did people still care about what he was doing? He has a podcast now.
He's done quite a lot. I mean, to be fair, he has done quite a lot. And he probably doesn't care because he makes money doing it. And it's the same problem I have with every man and woman who makes a lot of money and just does crap because that's what they get paid to do, Adam Sandler. Anyway, have some respect in yourself. If you want to be a true artist, I mean, that's fine. You don't give a shit about being a true artist and you want to just make money, then by means, go do that. But it's not really art. And I'm not going to get into the argument of, well, what is art, Bridget? Because people don't care anymore. But It's just sad. I'm just looking at his IMDb and I'm just like, wow, how did I miss out on this opportunity to be a crap actor and make a ton shit ton of money? You know what I'm saying?
Crap director. Michael, let's be clear about that.
Why are you here in Indiana, Michael? Why can you not go out and make a shit ton of money?
Because I didn't want to rack up $50,000 worth of credit card debt to maybe make a movie about being a clerk and somehow have it be successful.
Okay, fair enough.
He got lucky. A lot of that was luck.
Yeah, super lucky. I think so.
Right place, right time, and a white
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
Goodwill Hunting is another movie that he was involved with that I actually like. And
yeah.
Yes, and an episode of Phineas and Ferb. And I really like Phineas and Ferb.
He it's not that he can't pick good projects. It's that most of the time he just wants to follow whatever weird stoner muse. And Josh, I think we touched upon this at one point. Kevin Smith, really, his work really started to fall off the second he got into pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He got like super
Which is weird
stoner.
Because usually it goes the other way around.
Well, usually it's cocaine or heroin, and an artist like hits this weird zen zone and can't do anything but crank out like music or stories or whatever, and then when they get off the drugs, that's when, you know, the problem is, because then they don't have that same weird drive anymore. You can look at it from like Rolling Stones or Stephen King or Aerosmith or any of those. Like, you can see the point where their work tapers off, like, production-wise, because they stopped doing cocaine or heroin. And I'm not saying they should have done either of those things. I'm just saying you can see the correlation between them, you know?
Yeah.
But for Kevin Smith, it's the exact opposite. He picked the drug that makes you super mellow and will laugh at anything, and you can kind of see that in his work.
Yes, that is it. Maybe I have to be high in order to watch Clerks and enjoy it.
Especially his later works, like Tusk and Yoga Hosers. I think that's entirely meant for you to be baked out of your mind.
You know, that's probably why I'm not a fan of Seth Rogen either. Although I appreciate his politics, I'm not really a fan.
I love Seth Rogen.
I will say, since we're way off topic at this point anyway, because we were just supposed to be talking about the animated series and we did that for 5 minutes and we moved on. Like, Seth Rogen, when he's not doing, no, not Seth Rogen, I'm thinking of someone else, never mind. But no, you are right. Seth Rogen is another pot-style humor guy, and sometimes his brilliance carries out too. First season of Preacher, for example, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Second season of Preacher, horrendous. So, yeah, it's that you get that stoner kind of vibe going, and sometimes it works, but oftentimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I still have an appreciation for the cartoon. Becky, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, same. It's like I said, it's like I watch it for the gems. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, like, oh, that was a cringy moment. Okay, very. Moving on.
Very. Yeah, like, so the Temple of Doom episode. The Temple of Doom plotline itself, once Randall gets sucked into it, tedious, boring, not interesting. But the humor around it, like sexy Randall the Pharaoh Wizard, or his line of, "You mean after me, no other man would do?" Like, brilliant. So there's each episode, especially the further you get into the season, feels like it has less and less momentum, but also each one of them has a few pretty funny gems in them.
The funniest part of that entire episode is the last scene where the kids who are just released are trying to play baseball. I found that humorous. Very humorous.
So wrong.
Yes, it was great.
Okay. I think we've long since talked out this second podcast shitting on Kevin Smith.
I don't know. I'm sure we could always find more to shit on him about.
We'll do a third one another year or so, shitting on other stuff that he's done. It'll be great. Anyway, this has been Not So Live from Asteroid G. I am Mike Domo Toshiro-san Finkelstein.
Dang, you took mine. I'm just plain old boring Josh Post Cold Schaefer.
You know, you could have gone with Josh Coffee Bar with Tiny Bookstore with even tinier coffee bar Schaefer.
I was thinking of doing Eddie Murphy and Tom Cruise.
Or Josh, I built this desk myself, Schaefer.
Oh, okay.
Josh, Humanitas, Schaefer.
So, Queen B, Queen B.
Oh, and Bex.
And we will see you next time.